difficult. None of us are without flaws, errors, and head bumpings on a frequent occurrence. Amen. If you don't believe me, just check your prayer life and you'll see it. It's there, definitely in mine. So if we're asking God for mercy all the time, then that continues. Today, we're going to continue down that line of reasoning, scripturally, of course. And the title of this message is Being a Difficult Person. Hey now, or How to Be a Difficult Person. Watch this. By show of hands, has anyone ever interacted with a difficult person? Just once, maybe once or twice, you ever interacted with a difficult person? All right. By show of hands, how many of you are occasionally a difficult person? All right. Now, by show of hands, how many of you are frequently a difficult person? All right. Now, watch this. Here's the kicker. If your hand shot up real quick because you've interacted with difficult people, but your hand went up slowly about being a difficult person, you just pegged yourself as a difficult person, amen. Because it shows that we, and I mean me included, often struggle with this very difficult word called humility. If it's hard for me to admit when thinking about how difficult other people can be, that I myself am also a very frequently difficult person, then probably I have a little bit of pride there. And that's important for us to recognize. If that is you, as it is me, don't feel too bad. It is a common issue. And what Christ has come to do on a frequent basis is to help us to humble ourselves, to recognize that we are not righteous because we are less difficult than other people or less difficult in general. We are righteous because we're saved, because we're rescued, we're rescued, we're pulled out of it. And without him, we dive down deep into it immediately. There's this scientific theory, fact, I don't know, that if you blot out the sun for a second, just for a millisecond, the earth freezes over in a blink, just like that. Just 1 second of the sun not shining on the earth and the earth freezes over. The same is true of Christ. Just 1 second without him and we immediately devolve into chaos. The best parts about you and me, the grace of God is personified in Christ Jesus. So if I don't begin to see myself as a problematic person in the eyes of God, then I have to deal with my pride. So we're going to deal with how to be a difficult person. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's okay if that chafes a little bit. It should chafe. The word's going to chafe you sometimes. All right? There's this... I was reading a book by C.S. Lewis the other day, and I wrote it down just to make sure I got it right. He was talking about forgiveness, and he says, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea until he has something to forgive. Then all of a sudden, it's like, that's just a terrible concept. We rage against it. All right, are you in Luke 18? All right, so think of this message somewhat as an inverse to what we talked about last week. We're going to look at some scriptures from the perspective of a difficult person. So look at your neighbor real quick. Say, this message is for me. And
this message
is about you.
It's about you.
Because it teaches me how to love you. Amen. All right. If you're there, say, I'm there. Luke 18, we're going to start at verse 9. Here we go. Also, he said this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Whew. What does that mean to be righteous and just to think you're righteous and despise others? It means you think you're pretty decent and other people are less so. I didn't hear any amens. Do you hear any amens, Brother Banks? That's okay. All right. All right. They thought they were decent, and they despise others. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. Fasting is not easy. So that's a big deal, right? I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So if you've ever thought yourself better than someone else, and I have, I've often thought myself better of people who I've been a little bit perturbed by, right? I know for a fact that I'm better than Patrick. I mean, that's an objective fact.
Only in your own.
Oh, Patrick, I'm preaching now. No comebacks allowed. No. If you've ever thought yourself better than someone else, or maybe you didn't voice it that way, if you've ever thought someone else was worse than you, then you kind of fall in this category. And I know that I do, because I've thought of plenty of people as being worse than me, which is the same as thinking other that I'm better than them, right? So then this is us, right? We can be the tax collector just as much as we can be the Pharisee in this. I want to draw your attention really quickly to verse 11. Very interesting turn of phrase here that Jesus uses in this parable. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with who? With himself. Isn't that interesting? This prayer has nothing to do with God. To say, I'm so glad, God, I'm not like that poor person over there. And Jesus says, actually, he went away less than justified before that. So the first thing we take from being a difficult person is the hardest part for us to see as difficult people is that we are, in fact, difficult people. That's the first thing, the humbling part, the removal of the pride. That's the first thing that we've got to identify, right? The hardest part about overcoming an addiction is admitting you have a problem. The hardest part about losing pride is admitting that we have it. Here's the thing about pride. It's so easy to see in other people, isn't it? You ever notice someone else being prideful? I have. We can spot it a mile off. We can smell it on people. We can smell pride on everyone but ourselves. It's like morning breath. You pick up on it real quick. Ooh, get in the bathroom. Handle that. But on ourselves, I mean, my mouth is a little stale, but I'm okay. Getting a little graphic? Apologies in advance. Watch this. We got more to say. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Watch this. If you're in Matthew 18, we're going to start at verse 15. When you got it, you can say amen. A chorus of amens is music to my ears, way better than a Zoom thumbs up. Thanks, Patrick. Out on you to be obstinate. Keeps me humble. Matthew 18, we're going to start at verse 15. Good to see Tumiche running around us this time. Normally, we get to watch him run in and out of frame. Tumiche wants some juice. All right, Matthew 18, we're going to start at verse 15. It reads, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Gene, coming hard in the paint. Now, because we're talking about what it's like to be difficult people, I want, for the purpose of this discussion, you to put yourself in the perspective, not of the person who has aught against your brother, but the person who the brother has aught against. Last week, we got to be the offended. Today, we are the offender. Hey, now. Who's ever been an offender? Many times. All right. Now, key word now for us offenders over here. The big word that I want you to see repeated three times is the word here. When we are offenders, and all of us are, the most important thing that we can do is hear. To hear the offense or the complaint of our brother. Because that there is the difference between treated like a brother or treated like a heathen and a tax collector. Let's read it one more time. Remember, you're not the offended, you're the offender. All right? Admonishment to us, difficult people. Verse 12 or verse 15 again. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go to him and tell him his faults between you and him alone. So I offended my brother. He came and talked to me between me and it. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Praise God. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. But if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be like a heathen and a tax collector. All that hearing, you got to hear it. And look, I don't like being told that I'm not a good person. I don't like being told that I'm problematic. I don't like being told that I've got a speck in my ass. The first thing I want to do when I've been told that I have a speck in my eye is point out somebody else's speck. I'm going to tell on myself a little bit. Amina will tell you, I took wrestling in seventh grade. And if you get tackled, that's 2 points. But if you reverse it and reverse the tackle, that's 2 points for you instead of against you. I'm an excellent wrestler. 2 point takedown. Dang it. 2 point reversal. Wow. Now we're even again. We're square. I'm really good at that. Michael, you're problematic. You're problematic. You know what I'm not doing when I'm doing that? I'm only talking about me. None of you guys in here are guilty of that. I'm not hearing. I'm making it about what I don't like. I don't want to deal with me. I want to deal with you. And we're all called to hear because faith comes by hearing. Hey, I heard that. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And if your brother has aught against you, you got to put those ears back on. First things first. Amen, ears?
Amen.
Amen, difficult people? Oh, everybody. I love it. I'm pressuring you into thinking that you're difficult. That's okay. The word does it too. Watch this. Skip down to verse 21. I love Peter here. Peter's because Christ goes down the list on this, and Peter does an excellent thing. Watch this. He does exactly what I would do. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now watch this. It's easy again for us to slip into the offended shoes. Take those shoes off. That's not who we are today. We're the offenders. Go to Luke chapter 17 so I can put this in context for us offenders. For us difficult people. You're not the offended, you're the offender. I know. The pride wants us to be the offended. He says in verse 3, take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And the sins against you seven times. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Watch this. Offenders, difficult people, I gotta keep saying it so we stay in character. Stay in character. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in character.
Stay in character.
Stay in character. First, we have to be hearers. Second, we have to be, big word now, repenters. We cannot, as the children of God, grow weary of hearing and repenting. How hard you think it was in this scenario to repent the second time in the same day, or the third time, or the fourth time, or the seventh time? You got rebuked seven times in a day and you had to repent seven times. As an offender, I'm tired of hearing and I'm tired of repenting. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm tired of repent. Look, I can't be that much of a problem. I'm not that difficult of a person, am I? I've been rebuked 7 times in the same day. 7 times? It seems excessive. Maybe the offended person has a problem. Maybe they're fickle. That's not what Jesus says. He says 7 times you might get rebuked. 7 times repent. And if after 7 repentances, 7 times there's forgiveness. But we're not the offended party. We're the offenders. Offenders, assemble.
Aw.
That was a great one. Patrick, I know you saw it coming, so you should have laughed. Shouldn't have groaned in pain. Yes, I know it seems excessive. And look, I know this is Christ raising the bar, elevating it. I know these are hard words to live by and even harder words to swallow at times. But we press towards the mark, do we not? This is what we're striving for. And who are we striving? What are we striving for? We're striving to be like him. To be like the Father. To be like the Son. To be imitators of God. As he is in this world, so are we. All right. Are you sore? A tap on a sensitive spot? It's okay. Here's the thing. This is not about having a guilt complex. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. It's not about that. It's not about beating yourself up. It's not about getting beat up over and over again. It's not about just taking L's for L's sakes. It's not what this is. It's not what Christianity is. All right. We're not those folks from several centuries ago who'd whipped themselves in service to God. That's not what we're doing here. We're not masochists. We are servants of the Most High. Our goal, our endeavor is to remain humble before the throne of God in service to him, enacting his will in the earth, to be his light, to be sons of God. And if Jesus could suffer, then we can suffer a little. We can suffer bruises to our pride, can we not? Can we not? Just a little. Look, I'm not asking you to get on a cross tomorrow. Just a little bit of suffering. Just check it at the gate, just a little. Start with that. If the best thing we can do is get up in the morning and say, I'm gonna try to be less difficult of a person today. I'm gonna try to be a better hearer today. I'm gonna try to be more repentant than I was yesterday. Then just do that, right? If you're out of shape, don't run a marathon tomorrow. Just get up and stretch. And then the day after that, take a walk around the block. All right? And then stretch again. Just get up. Put another foot forward. Just. Oh, I'm tired. Hey, you did better than you did yesterday. You ain't got to climb Everest. Just go out to the front yard and get the paper. Come back in. Okay. All right. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. Again, this is not about a guilt complex. This is not about beating ourselves up. It's about maintaining an attitude of humility and service before God and the brethren. Acts chapter 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. That's not going to get old for me anytime soon. All right. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start at verse 3. Talking about Paul here. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. What it reads in the King James, the New King James. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. That's an interesting analogy there. Right? For those of us who are not first century farmers, we don't know what goads are. But when you are driving an ox or perhaps a horse There was the harness that was attaching the animal to the cart or the plow, and there were little spikes so that the animal tried to kick against it and go its own way, they would prick it and they have to keep going straight. And what Jesus is saying there, Paul, you're kicking against the goads. I know it's hard. And what it suggests is that Paul was often convicted by the truth of the gospel, and he was resisting it. And two things we learn from this. Number one, if Paul had just been willing to hear the word of God and to repent, as we've just talked about, we probably wouldn't have gone blind for a couple of days, for one. Number two, we notice that Christ says something incredible here. He says, Paul, or Saul at the time, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not why are you persecuting my brethren? Why are you persecuting the other saints throughout the church? Why are you persecuting the little ones? Why are you persecuting me? He took it extremely personally. Quite literally, he said, you're doing this to me. So when the Bible says that we are the body of Christ, it's not spoken of simply in figurative terms. In a very spiritual sense, we indeed are the actual body of Christ. Now, you may be a toenail or you may be an eye, but you're part of the body. Just to drive this point home even further, go with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Notice, I have not called you to never, ever be a difficult person ever again. I've called you simply to be a hearer and a repenter, which is the very thing you set out to do anyway. Amen. No one's arguing with being a repenter, are you? Or a hearer? Or a lover of God? Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you but from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. The takeaway here is the reason we are willing to curb our difficultness, to curb ourselves as offenders and be hearers and to be repenters, is because we are not simply doing it to one another, we're doing it to him, to Christ. So just as if we refuse to hear one another and to repent before one another, we refuse to do it to him. we guard ourselves against the very one who would save us. We preserve ourselves in the face of the king. So again, it's not about self-inflicted punishment. It's about an attitude of humility and service. Colossians chapter 3. And this is where we'll stop. We're going to start at verse 12. It reads, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in the body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Every act that we do in the church with one another in our endeavors to continue in the walk should be motivated by, informed by, propelled by our service to the Lord. Exclusive. That's got to be the reason why. It can be the only reason why. It is the only sustainable reason why. The only reason why y'all should continue to put up with me as your pastor is to serve the Lord, because I am a difficult person. It's true, Mom. Don't believe the hype. I'm a difficult person. Oh, let me count the ways. I am lazy. It's okay. It's true. Well, that's why are you saying amen to that, Mom? You ain't gotta bring up I didn't say the room, Mom. My bedroom was a mess. It's okay. If my mom won't say amen, my wife probably will and should. I am lazy and often forgetful. Selective memory, it's been called. I have great self-interest. I hate to admit when I'm wrong. I love to be praised. I love to be acknowledged. I love to be regarded as a really nice guy. I hate any narrative that says I'm otherwise. I resist it. I don't like to spend a lot of time preparing for the things that I should. I put off for today the things that should be done today to do them tomorrow. And then I often don't do them tomorrow. I'm not thoughtful all the time. In fact, more often than not, I'm not thoughtful at all. I'm self-considering. I know these things about myself. I don't typically talk about them in public because I like the narrative that I'm a nice guy. I am appearing to be a nice guy, but I know what goes on in this mind. And I gotta tell you, Ma, it ain't nice. And now you know. And look, in my prayer life and yours, we tell on ourselves before God, do we not? I tell on myself real bad. I would never let y'all hear some of those prayers. Those belong in the secret place. Amen. Yeah, I ain't writing no book of Psalms. It's already been written. But I'm a difficult person. So if you're putting up with me, don't do it because you think I'm a nice guy. Serve the king. You called me and I didn't call you back and probably won't. Serve the king. Tell me about it. Rebuke me. Let me deal with the problem of hearing it, and serve the king. Because I'm difficult. And so are you. Hey. But we serve the king. If you do nothing, if you take nothing else from this, serve the king with humility. Because when you serve the king, you're going to have to do it through the king's people, who are his body. I love you, Toenail. Or Price.
Toenail.
Fingernail. And we do all things in service to the one who grants us to sit at his right hand. Amen? Amen. We're out of time. Or I'm out of notes. Okay. All right. Sorry for your toes. You should have worn steel-toe shoes today. Okay. All right. God bless you all. I love you all. Even if it may seem like I'm here to beat you up sometimes, it's just that I love you. And know that this is who we're called to be. And only in going down in humility do we rise in glory. Remember, we talked about it 2 weeks ago, dying and being reborn in Christ.